name is Angie Sears, and I'm the program coordinator for the Spirit Mountain Community Fund. Today's podcast is a way for our team to highlight the amazing work that our nonprofit partners are doing within the communities and to allow them an opportunity to share their story with you. We're here today with Michael Cherry, our executive director, and our guests, Deborah Maitebe Shipman, the director and founder, and Leanne Holder, a board member and volunteer with Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, or MMIW USA. We're here to talk about the important work that they're doing to bring home missing Native women and to support their families as they cope with the grief of the loss of a loved one. So thank you for being here with us today. Let's start by talking about the mission of MMIW USA and how your organization began.
When I first came upon this problem was when I was living in the Navajo Nation. I lived there for about 7 years. And shortly after I got there, one of our male friends was murdered. And then 2 weeks later, our other friend who had found his body was murdered. Then later I lost another friend. And having been raised an urban Indian in Southern Oregon, I was just horrified, you know, about what I saw. Their reactions were way different than mine. They had experienced it so many times that they had become unable to really feel the full impact of it. And that's probably what made me the saddest, is I don't think anyone should be used to murder. And so I started volunteering for Missing in New Mexico. I was like the Native liaison. And I had thought that mainly this problem was in the Southwest. And because it was just so much of it, I'd never heard of it here at home. When I transferred back from Dene College to transfer up here to finish at Portland State, one of the teachers, Judy Blue Horse Skelton, she always fostered to heal me from what she knew that I'd experienced down there. So she would set me to do different tasks, you know, that had to do with MMIW. And it was during my internship for Native Studies there that I started the Facebook page, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women USA. Over the years, we just started growing. It's like Creator changed our mission about 3 times. Not completely added to our mission. This last year, we got a fiscal sponsor and was, you know, have been starting to be able to do all the things that we wanted to do this whole time, you know. And we have bought funeral plots. We have bought tombstones. We've done a lot of different things, you know, for these families. So it just felt really good to be able to do that. And I want to thank you for helping us out there with that grant and everything. It's like we're putting it to good use. And
thank you, Deborah. So you mentioned the work that we just funded, and that was the project was Staying Sacred in a Violent Society. Can you tell us more about that work and how it has impacted the communities that you serve?
Our most important job that we do is by advocating for the families and empowering them. Most of these families have been abandoned by law enforcement and they're lost. I'm talking about it in an emotional sense. What we do with the families is our number one part of the mission. But even living up here with Yakima is one of the tribes that we've had a lot of work with. They've got a horrendous problem. And like, there was a lot of people that was afraid to speak. Now they're starting to speak out. You know, we've got help put together a network, you know, as far as different people doing different things here in the Northwest, and we can fully help those families be empowered and be able to speak. Yeah, ordinarily, this is the most difficult time they've ever faced in their life. They are so grateful for everything you do. At the tiniest thing, they're just so grateful. You know, and that's what keeps us engaged, even no matter how difficult it is.
Can you talk about HB 2951 in Washington State and how that bill came about? And also, does Oregon have a plan to follow in their footsteps with a similar bill?
Oh, yeah. We got House Bill 2625 was presented by Tana Sanchez. Was it in November?
I think it was in
November yes. of last year. Mm-hmm. And we just got to testifying for the last hearing this week. I do think it will be unanimous vote because the senators were even crying.
What exactly will that bill entail?
This bill, the Oregon bill, is different than the one in Washington because it asks for a study to be done by the state police. Like a study that would show the needs, and it leaves it kind of open. Then we go back after the reports, then it'll show the needs, and then we'll be able to express that, you know, through town halls, working with the state police, you know, to show them like these are the things that's going on that need to be included in the final work. The one in Washington, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say 2625. Increases the buy-in for state police to get involved with the Office of Indian Commission and create a task force with urban Indian groups as well as the Nine Tribes of Oregon, which is really good. It shows that investment.
Yeah.
The original bill, House Bill 2951 in Washington, was introduced by Gina Mossbrooker, and that was done in November of 2018 as well. And it kind of bolstered up the new law, which is 1713, that Governor Inslee just signed last week.
Yeah,
matter of fact. And so that law pretty much, it creates two tribal liaisons who were within law enforcement on the east side of Washington and the west side. And they have this task force that it has created with the 29 tribes of Washington, the governor's office, state police, urban Indian organizations, as well as tribal police. And so inside of that, they're also doing research on how to aggregate the data of reported missing.
Well, those numbers are certainly staggering, and even just listening to you, it's like, you know, my heart just hurts for you a little bit. Like, I don't know how you're doing this work day in and day out, but thank God that you are, and thank God for people like you, you know, who are out bringing awareness to this very important issue. So the city of Portland recently proclaimed May 5th as Missing and Murdered Native Women and Girls Day. Can you talk about what that means for your organization and your mission?
What it means for us is that there'll be more work between the police department and us. We're only dealing with one jurisdiction here, so it's not as hard as it is in other places. They've dedicated a person to that, like a tribal liaison within the Portland Police Department. Now, I think he's a captain, mm-hmm. and that'll make it easier. Because we've had three missing persons this year. One was carried over from last year. We were able to find them very quickly. But we organized, it was like about 120 people out with flyers looking for these girls. And they found them. And like Portland Police really did help on that one. Because one of the girls was autistic. In particular, she was very endangered. And they also, not just supporting me with the police department, their trafficking unit is going to be great for us because it's a staying sacred program that we need to show these girls what happens when you get trafficked. They need to hear those stories. We talk about it, and we have talked about very hard subjects. You know, it will help having somebody from the city to come out and talk to them about it, just so it's just not us telling them. But the girls are, like, receptive. The girls are serious about, you know, their features. They know that trafficking is a serious issue here in Portland.
As well as Montana.
Montana, Washington, and New Mexico are the worst states right now. And Washington and Montana keep going back and forth for first place. But what we think is going on, and we've started tracking these patterns, is that when the heat's put on Washington, those numbers go down. But Montana, the state right next to it, goes up. Montana has tripled in adolescent disappearances in the last 6 months. And then Montana, the heat turned up, and what we're seeing right now is Nebraska. We've had, in the 5 years we've been doing this, we've had two missing MMIWs for Nebraska. Now we had, like, to this calendar year, there's been seven. And, like, only two of those have been returned home. It's like you can just track it and see it.
And the focus is mostly on, you know, vulnerable populations. It's not just young girls. It's also, you know, young men, our two-spirit people who are in or have been in foster care. So very vulnerable populations are getting attacked.
Deborah, you mentioned earlier about an Amber Alert case that took like 24 hours mm-hmm. to respond to. Can you talk just a little bit about why that's taking so long?
In Montana, like one of the worst states, you know. The little girl, she was abducted on Pine Ridge Reservation. She is Yankston Sioux from a different reservation. And they couldn't decide who was going to take the case. Even though that it shows on video that she's being drugged to a car, now they finally have a police department on it now, a tribal police, but they're not asking for an Amber Alert. As soon as I leave here, that's going to be what I'm doing, is rattling that cage. We had like a little girl that was abducted in Washington, non-custodial parent. There was an Amber Alert out for her within the first 20 minutes. But yeah, our people wait days, hours. And when I was working in New Mexico one time, the 13, 14-year-olds, there was four Hopi young people were missing. It took the first parent, it took them a week before law enforcement would even take a report. Yeah. And they tried. They tried and tried. We finally got a missing, you know, a police department on it. When they put out the description, they changed it from Native American to white. You know, then so we're calling back. Why did you change the race on this child? Well, you guys need to bring in a CDIB, a certified degree of Indian blood, before we'll change it. And there, and with everything inside of me, I feel like it's because of tourism. All the while there are probably, and this is strong language, I'm not going to cuss or anything, but like along Route 66, there's probably 1,000 natives just buried out there or tossed out. It's huge across this country and Alaska and Hawaii. Alaska is a whole different animal, and it is rough. It's hard. And it's like, but we've got good people up there that are ready for the fight. You know, we've just got to, like, there's so many big things up there to overcome, just as far as like the little islands and stuff and getting somebody out of there. We had to, like, we've paid to get two different women out of there with their kids. And it's just really hard. It's really hard because you got to sneak them off the island. Then you got to, like, in Anchorage, there's like the airport is pretty like a public place, you know? So these women like waited in that airport scared to death, you know, before we could get them out of there and get them to Portland. And then one of them, the earthquake happened the day that we were trying to get them out of there. It was like an 8.9 magnitude earthquake. That was just, that was not too long ago.
So it sounds like the systems for reporting and investigating properly and quickly is definitely broken. That's an understatement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how are you overcoming those challenges?
That's what our work on these bills, you know, we're trying to overcome it in that way. We're going to make a bigger presence with these law departments. Some of them know who we are in South and North Dakota. Yakima doesn't like me very well. So we know them well, because I think if they know people are watching, people that have a national audience, people that can tell their the things that they try to sweep under the rug. We're very vocal.
We also have national representation like Deb Palin and Cherise Davies, you know, he's in D.C. right now, that they've made it their charge to address, you know, the issue of missing and murder. As far as the data goes, that's an ongoing battle, but I think we have to start with awareness and education and training. So we're starting with our young ones to go out there and spread the word and, you know, talk about these issues at school, create posters, create clubs, you know, just get it out there, especially with tribes too, is making it known to educate members and their youth and elders. And so a lot of it is community awareness, the strategy building through that way.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I don't think I even really heard about this issue of so many Native women being abducted or murdered on their reservations until maybe about a year ago. And this has obviously been going on for so many years. And I'm a tribal member at Grand Ronde, and I don't even know that it's an issue until just recently. So it's really great that you are doing this work and that you are putting this information out there for people to realize that it is an issue and it needs to be corrected.
It's making the visible invisible visible. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Native women since colonization, you know, have been raped and fetishized and sold and bought and traded throughout this time, and it really hasn't stopped, but the news of it has, because we're so populated now, and then it just got buried and buried and buried because of this multi-generation, I think, traumatic relationship that we've had with U.S. government and, frankly, law enforcement. So, you know, Native people have reported, what, just under 6,000, I think it was like 5,721 cases of missing relatives, and only 116 were recorded with the Department of Justice. That's horrific.
Unacceptable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If someone needs your assistance in finding a missing loved one, how can they get in touch with you?
We get most of our reports through Facebook and through the messenger system. And we have a website, a beautiful website that you can report to too. And there's a form online that goes to our email. And then also calls. We get calls coming in. And that's usually how things are reported. And it really started to be common practices with some tribes, some areas, that they call us at the same time that they call law enforcement. And so then we're able to like advocate them from the very beginning, you know, and that's what happened with the little girl that's missing right now, is like, we actually told them how to report the crime because they didn't know who to go to. You know, and we're trying to get together as we get more people, you know, involved. We're trying to get like resource lists and stuff, things like that help them immediately. Somebody besides just us, but we will carry the main, I don't want to say burden, but we'll carry the main part of it. And then, yeah, so like there's a few different ways.
Speaking of how people can get involved, what would you suggest for people besides just going to your webpage, how else can people get involved in their communities if they wanted to volunteer?
Well, I mean, I think the first point of contact is probably Deborah or one of us within the organization, but the webpage most definitely. Of course, we're a pretty big presence on social media. You know, sending your youth to our sacred camp is huge, the girls. And I think we're starting with a male counterpart to that.
Yeah.
Sometime this year.
This summer, we're going to speak to, like, the decolonization of, you know, male into, you know, it became this patriarchal role when, like, a lot of tribes are matriarchal, you know. And so, like, our tribe is. And I think it speaks to a lot of different things that this movement is 99% women. I think that just like the matriarchal part's coming back. But people can get involved by the probably the most important thing that can be done is getting on that page and sharing those things. Talk to people. If you talk to two people, it's a bad enough issue that they're going to start telling people too. And then that just like gets bigger and bigger. But like the most, I know it sounds like a little thing to say, get on there and share this stuff, but it's like a huge thing because people are going to ask questions. Why? I thought somebody just went missing the other day. Well, no, we get about 1 to 2 people missing every day, you know, and sharing those things is just very vital. And we have like a ton of volunteer opportunities here in Portland, Oregon, for Staying Sacred. That's our preventative program for girls 10 to 17 or 10 to 18. That we're like getting ready to like start planning Wapato and Camas, like live on a farm. That's where we have the meetings at and everything. They're also our fiscal sponsor. We're re-indigenizing that land down there in the ways of the upper and lower Chinook. You know, I'm Chickasaw. I'm a guest here too. And then we have like another woman that lives out there. She's Apache. You know, we're dedicated to do it in the ways of your tribe and like the rest of them that are from like the Columbia Basin or not, you know, the Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all different kinds of ways to be involved and volunteer. But I think the first point of reference would be the website. And there's always, if someone wants to give financially donations, well, we're just really kind of getting on the ground here. I mean, Deb is doing most of the work, most all of the work. I mean, she's, you know, she's on the phones, I don't know, 24/7 sometimes.
Sometimes it's like
a horrific schedule. And a lot of the administrative work falls on Deb as well. We can always use, you know, volunteers for helping, you know, like create a trifold and just, you know, administrative things would be so
And like great. The resource list I was just talking about, we need like people to like do those kinds of things too. Mm-hmm. And we had one person that actually made us a kind of like a data set. But like, so that we can keep these statistics and stuff like that. And this thing that we're watching now very closely with the movement and the age. And we need people that, you know, will do that. If you like, there's two women that do nothing but, you know, go through like NAMIS, that's like the missing, a national missing organization.
Yeah, yes, like Missing Without Borders. There's
yeah,
a few of
there's
them out there.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And like NAMIS is probably like one of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
And then there's like the to watch the federal mm-hmm. databases too. And we've got that. There's a lot of ways that you can volunteer and help. Mm-hmm. If you got a computer, a phone,
A printer.
We'll put you to work.
Yeah. Yes, awesome. Yeah. Good to know. Helpful.
Do you have any events or anything coming up that you want to share with our audience?
Yeah, the powwow is Saturday. We're doing it with Portland State, and we'll be there with families. And the families, they love it when people come up and say hi. And we're going to be like breaking away from the powwow about three different times in order to just go out and answer MMYW questions, go out and like do some awareness and stuff on the park blocks. And then next, Staying Sacred is, it's the last Saturday of every month. We are starting to open up these more to the public, because what we're finding in the midst of Staying Sacred is that us mothers are getting healed too. And it's like, so it's just by talking, you know, and the girls are like, they join in and talk about all these issues. You know, we ended up talking about genocide the other day, and it was a day we weren't even supposed to be talking about anything too heavy. We were just going to sell ribbon skirts. And we are going to be having a series of fundraisers that haven't been dated yet for the family of Ashley Lauren Heavy Runner. Two sisters live here in Portland. So that's one family that we've worked with a lot. And they've searched for Ashley by themselves over 100 times on their reservation, which is a Blackfeet reservation. And a lot of times last summer, they didn't even have food up there. They were spending all their money on gas to get up there and back. And we don't want that to happen to them this year.
Because they could get hurt. I mean, that they were just chased by bears.
Yeah, they were chased out by bears.
Yeah,
at some
I mean, they're
point.
Out in the snow.
You know, they put their own lives in danger so many times. And the mess that they've had with law enforcement is that in itself is another hour long. It's just been horrendous to see them go through this.
So thank you both so much for being here today. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day. It's evident that MMIW is in good hands with you at the helm. Keep up the good work, and thank you for your perseverance in such an important mission.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you.